Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Son Daniel in studio with us. And, friends, we're coming out of the 2011 Family Economics Conference in North Carolina. Want to do a wrap-up today because this, I believe, was an historical conference bringing back a biblical kind of economics against the Keynesian economic system and, of course, the Austrian economic systems that have been proposed by the humanists of our time. And, friends, we're looking at a breakdown of the family. And we've mentioned that a few times, I think, on this program over the last 8 to 9 years. The integrity of the family has been fundamentally compromised. No question in my mind about that. The tip of the iceberg, of course, is the 42% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. That's the tip. But the fundamental integrity of the family has been compromised everywhere. That is, it doesn't matter if you're attending a church, that you're homeschooling, what have you. You have done a few things to reintegrate the family. Friends, we're looking at a disintegration of the family that's extended for 6 to 7 generations, at least from the 1820s. Well, friends, also, the integrity of our debt-based economic system has been fundamentally compromised as well. You debt-based economic systems on the micro or the macro level, and you're going to have troubles. You're going to have problems. And this 2011 marks a very important year in the history of America, the first year in which Social Security has gone bankrupt. We're spending into the red some $46 billion. So 2011, the first year Social Security is bankrupt since its inception in the 1930s. So over 70 years, the money's been flowing in. Now it's going bankrupt. Now, the money is not there. And it, ironically, is the first year that the baby boom generation is retiring and will be retiring for the next 19 years. So we're looking at a fundamental breakdown of our economic system, a fundamental breakdown of the family or the integrity of the family. Therefore, I think it's important that we do some real concrete things in the area of economics and other areas of life in order to reintegrate the family and restructure economics. And we've got to do it on a biblical concept of these things. I encourage the audience to reconsider the way we've framed the family and understood the family in both Old and New Testaments. Theology is effectively where we went astray back in the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s. Over 400 years, theology has been done wrongly. I'm not just talking about Baptists or Presbyterians. I'm talking about a cross-denominational look at the theology and the way we've looked at the family, social structures, the way we look at baptism, the way we look at theology, the way we look at every single aspect. We have not really understood the unity of the family as constructed in the Old Testament and carried over into the New Testament. We have the wrong form of family theology, and that has got to be corrected over the next 20 to 30 years. We've got to get back into the Word, dust off the Word, reconsider how we see the family in Old and New Testament. I don't believe there's a shift in how God looks at the family in Old and New Testament. And, of course, it was those who said the New Testament shifted the way we look at the family. Therefore, a fragmented family in terms of church participation, et cetera, is appropriate. Those that took a different view of the New Testament from the Old Testament are effectively those who went astray in the 1600s and 1700s. And now we are suffering the consequences of it at every single level of society. And I think it's now spread through the missionary movement and other things across the entire globe. So we've got to get back to the drawing board on how we consider the family and how we consider family economics. Now, the Bible speaks of family economics as effectively a unit. Aquila and Priscilla, they were tent makers. You know, families are judged together. Families are saved together. Families work together. Families minister together. Families are addicted to the ministry together, as Stephanus was. Families are baptized together. Families are sanctified together. Families fear God together. I mean, we see this all the way through the book of Acts. We see it all the way through the Bible, cover to cover. We've got to find a way to reconstruct the unity of the family in these various areas. And our conference focuses on the issue of economics. Now, our interest was to bring some solutions in the area of economics to the micro level. There's not a whole lot we can do. We had some questions on the macro level. How do we fix the Federal Reserve? How do we eliminate it? How do we get back to a biblical banking system, et cetera? There's some things we can't do today, but there's some things we can do on the micro level. How can we complain about $15 trillion of federal debt when we have $250,000 of mortgage debt on our homes? How can we complain about what the government is doing in going into debt and forcing every household into some $250,000 to $300,000 of debt when we have personally entered into $250,000 of mortgage debt ourselves? We can't complain about what the government's doing if we're in debt ourselves. So we talked about ways in which families could pay off their own mortgages. We also talked about how to integrate our family economies. We talked about how to abandon the Social Security system. We have to do that. We have to rebuild family relationships. We have to provide private, relational, and accountable charity systems in our own communities instead of pushing our single moms and our divorcees and our widows off onto the state. How are we going to rebuild biblical charitable systems that are done on the local level in family and church as opposed to tossing everybody onto Social Security systems and welfare systems? We're talking about rebuilding charitable systems on the local level. We're talking about rebuilding family economic systems. We're talking about families getting out of debt. Folks, what are you going to do when the Social Security Fund is entirely bankrupt? What are you going to do when grandma is about to be euthanized? What are you going to do when there's not 19% unemployment in this country, but 80% unemployment in this country? Let me tell you this. The answer is very simple. The answer is the family. The family is the most loyal, the most versatile, and the most diverse economic unit available to you right now or at any time. Your family, get this, your family loves you more than Barack Obama, generally speaking. Now, granted, there are some exceptions to the rule, but in general, at least those in whom some spirit of Christ is, there is some measure of love and joy and peace and long-suffering going on in your relationships. If there's something like that happening, there's nobody else. There isn't any Barack Obama, there isn't any Social Security system, there isn't any social welfare system that loves you more than your own family. And when push comes to shove and when things get tough, you're going to have to rely on family community and church community. Now, our conference dealt with these issues, but we talked about hundreds and thousands of practical ideas. It was like 10 fire hoses spraying out over 1,300 people over 2 days, friends. We're talking about lots and lots of panels. Family entrepreneurs came in and explained how they did it themselves. People asked literally hundreds of questions, and we, I think, launched a vision that's going to yield many, many conferences, many, many opportunities for information exchanges, many, many opportunities for mentorship in the years to come. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to speak with Scott Brown, who was at the conference, and Scott himself has some great ideas for launching family economies in the years to come. Scott Brown is next on Generations. I'll be back in just a moment.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And today we're talking about family economics, family entrepreneurism, something that may be a challenge for a lot of folks listening to the program. We've talked about this a great deal, and it's difficult sometimes to put wheels on this vision and get it on the road and get it moving. But there are real concrete, practical ways in which we can make this happen. And this is one thing we uncovered in the conference, the Family Economics Conference held last week in North Carolina. With me now to speak on this is Scott Brown from North Carolina. He's pastor of Hope Baptist Church in that area. And he has a tremendous vision for family economies. Scott, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Kevin, it's great to be back.
Scott, you've done what you can to put wheels on this thing yourself. You know, somebody asked the question at the conference. You may remember this. How does a family build a Boeing 747? That's a great question. It was a great question. My answer is really simple. One little piece at a time. Yeah. Nobody's going to be able to do the whole thing all at once. Now, I personally believe that in the future we can put manufacturing together. We can put assembly lines together. We can build small components in small family economic bases. Actually, this is the way the Japanese built cars in the 1960s and 70s. They had lots and lots and lots of home businesses that supplied these things and great quality systems to hold the whole thing together. But right now, it is true that you cannot take the entire economy and turn it into a family-based economy. We know that. But you can chew off little pieces around the edges. This is the way I put it to one of the fellows who asked me a question offline after the conference. He says, man, it sounds like you got a vision, but you're not going to be able to do the whole thing. And I said, yeah, but you can take little pieces. And that's one of the things you've been trying to do over the years, Scott.
Yeah, I sure have. I look for opportunities. And I'm involved in one right now that I'm really super excited about in terms of financial services.
Yes, financial services. Now, you started with plumbing and HVAC and that sort of stuff, which, by the way, is doable. I mean, you know, that you can put a family economy together in that area. But now you're moving more in the direction of a professional, career-oriented approach where you've got to put on a suit and you put on a tie on and you go meet with folks. But accounting and financial services is something that you can do within a family business in a home environment.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the great thing about, you know, the business of accounting and, you know, financial consultation and things like that is that you can do it in a family context.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, you can do all the work at home.
Yeah.
And provide, you know, from the get-go, a really low overhead cost structure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good for that. You know, the startup costs are often the things that just, you know, kill
mm-hmm.
small businesses. But this, you don't need a lot of capital to start, but you can build a really valuable company even without it. The other thing is it's a craft. I mean, it's a wonderful craft that can be taught to other members of the family and that can provide long-term employment for them as well.
I know a lot of folks that are training their daughters in the area of accounting and financial stuff. And you don't have to go to some fancy university and pay $140,000 to do that.
Right. Yeah, you really don't.
Can you get your CPA and do the courses sort of at home in a home-based setting, perhaps some online courses, textbooks mailed to you in the mail or what have you? Can you do it that way and save the $120,000 and get that education in a more informal sort of a way?
Yeah, you can. And that's, we're going to discuss that at this financial professional workshop. How do you do it? What kind of certifications are necessary? What kind of licenses are necessary?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you skin the cat? Do you need to be a CPA yourself? Or are there ways to, you know, outsource that? Or, you know, because there really, there are a lot of different angles on how to build a, you know, a financial professional, you know, kind of business.
Now, you mentioned a financial professional workshop that you're putting on. Talk to us a little bit about that. Just give us a few details up front here.
Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to bring some men together who have built these kind of companies from their youth up, and we're going to bring them together to explain how to become a financial professional here in Wake Forest on May 21st, it's just next month. And so that's what we're going to do, and you know, this is all also surrounding a whole environment of the mentoring of a young man here in our community in this way. So I've gathered some mentors around this young man. Informally as his personal mentors, but we're going to bring those mentors all together in the form of a small conference here in Wake Forest to just continue to advance his understanding of everything as they tell him and whoever comes how these men built their businesses. And I mean, there are lots of details we're going to work through.
Yeah.
You know, how to form a company, you know, how to go get your first customers. What do you do every day? I mean, there are all kinds of very nuts and bolts kinds of things we're going to cover this conference.
And as you know, mentorship is a very important part of this. I mean, on the one hand, you certainly need the facts. You need the seminars. You need the textbooks. You've got to get up to speed on the laws and so forth. But you need, really, in order to implement, in order to get out in the marketplace and start peeling off a piece of this, it's excellent to have that base of mentors that surround you in this. And this is something I think that a lot of young men have been missing for many, many years.
Yeah, hey, can I just tell you the story of how this all transpired?
Yeah.
I love the story. So there's a young man who came to work with me as a NCFIC intern a couple of years ago. And so he came and he, you know, our objective in those internships really is to raise up the new generation of elders. And so they're involved in the communications and messaging at CFIC, and they live with us and walk with us, you know. But anyway, so this fellow, he had some interest in financial services. His father was a CFO, and his father had run a small business, and he worked at a bank where he had to balance, you know, he had to balance the penny every day, and he worked for a collection agency, and I had always wanted to start an accounting firm, and I really had just been praying about the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the guys here said, Scott, you have to think about this fellow. His name is Joseph Fremming.
Mm-hmm.
And so we called up Joseph and said, hey, what do you think about this idea? Come down to Wake Forest. We'll start an accounting firm, and I'll surround you with mentors, and they'll teach you how to do this. I'll surround you with the best men I know. And at the same time, we'll bring people in. We'll teach fathers and sons how to become financial professionals. So that was sort of the concept. So there's two things going at one time. There's the mentorship of this young man gathering mentors around, and then I thought, you know what? This would be so powerful for fathers and sons to come in, get exposure to these same mentors that this young man has, and, you know, learn from the guys, the godly guys, by the way, who know how to do this.
Yeah.
So what happened was he in his own hometown began to work with his father. His father began to transfer what he had done his whole life into his son, coaching him in how to do some of the functions and understand the requirements of doing small business accounting. And he worked with him, and then he moved here. And now his father will be coming down, as well as these other mentors to help him. And hey, one of the mentors is a guy right here in North Carolina. His name is Adam Hall.
Okay.
He has a CPA firm for 17 years. He started when he was age 22, right about the same age as Joseph Fleming. John Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very successful CPA firm in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to come up. He did the same thing. He started when he was in his 22.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Weir,
another
guy who's been in financial services.
Spoke at the conference. Extremely successful man. Right.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And something I've learned a long time ago, Scott, is that if you want to be successful, surround yourself with successful people. You'll be like the people you're with. And that's, of course, what Jesus said as well. A man will be like his mentors or his discipler. And this is the principle we're trying to bring back. And people think that somehow you go to a college, you sit in a classroom for 4 to 5 years, you're never with somebody who's actually doing something in the marketplace, and you'll be successful if you get out of that college after spending $120,000 and going $80,000 in debt. But it turns out that mentorship is by far the most powerful way to inculcate successful patterns for whatever you're doing, whether it's plumbing, accounting, or engineering, or anything.
Hey, so here's an example happening right here in my office today with this young man. He's with one of his mentors, Ashik Noah, who's been in international finance his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's been doing his whole life is analyzing businesses. So he's sitting down with Joseph today, and they've been walking through the numbers of this plumbing and HVAC company that Joseph is learning on. And, you know, Ash has been He's a business analyst. That's his focus. He's not an accountant. He's an analyst. So he's been he's with Joe today looking at the different trends, the different cost issues that are on the financial statement, and he's analyzing. And today, in the afternoon, at the very end of the day, Ashok Noah and Joseph Fleming are going to meet with the guys in this company and give them kind of a financial update on how the company is doing. Here's what needs to be fixed here. Here's what's going wrong with this side of the business here. Joe is learning from a business analyst today, and he's one of his mentors. The other, a couple weeks ago, he went out and saw, you know, Adam Hall, who had his company when he started when he was age 22. And Adam said, here, he looked at Joseph's plan and said, hey, I love your plan here. How about this? He brought the plan back. I thought, man, this is fantastic. Yeah. I never could have done that.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
It's a mentoring incubator here.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the biggest complaints we have from folks, from our listening audience, is that they say, well, you just talk about vision all the time. You have all these wonderful concepts for family economics-based systems, but you never really have a lot of practical application to the things that you're saying. But today, folks, we have a practical application. We have an example of what we're talking about in this mentorship, and we also have an example of a workshop or a series of workshops that will happen in North Carolina here in another month or two. Talk to us a little bit about what people will pick up on in the area of financial professional services here, Scott.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are a couple ways, you know, that I can explain it. But, I mean, if I just read you some of the, you know, some of the explanations of some of the sessions we're going to have.
Yeah, just talk through what these folks will participate in.
Okay, so Don Murphy, you know, who's got a CPA firm in Birmingham, he has a speech called Launching and Running a Small Business Accounting Service. He's going to discuss how to set up and operate a small business accounting firm. He'll talk about his experiences that he's had for almost 20 years and how to have a business plan for your practice, you know, how to analyze the marketplace and go find the best customers, what kind of infrastructure, what kind of software you need to do this. How do you mitigate risk? That's one session right there. Here's one by Adam Hall, How I Built My Accounting Firm Starting at Age 22. He'll just speak from his personal experience and growing his own CPA practice from the ground up, and including the struggles and things like that. You've got Eric Weir. He's got a speech titled, a session titled, Why Now is One of the Best Times in History to Build a Career in Financial Services. And he'll explain the whole market of the financial services, financial planning, wealth management, side, of this whole business. You'll have, I've got a session by Ashok Noah where he'll explain how small accounting firms can serve corporate finance departments and the challenges that are there.
And my guess is that's a very, very powerful presentation, because part of the vision here, Scott, is to peel off or contractualize pieces of this large economic system out there. And that's one of the ways to do it. Ash Noah is going to speak on how to get a piece of the action, how to get that accounting piece and work it into your family economy. It can be done. That's the point here.
Yeah. And my part, what I'm going to do, I'm not a financial professional, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a session on fathers and sons working together in financial services and how it can happen. So that's kind of does that answer the question about what are the nuts and bolts practical issues? I mean, I've got a lot more I could tell you in terms of sort of granular detail.
Scott, your overall objectives, I mean, what's your heart? Where do you want to go with this? I mean, you care about families, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it really is about recovering the biblical doctrine of the family in our generation. And part of that has to do with the way that your economic life is structured, because the institutions of the world have sort of structured out of the picture families. And so fathers don't walk with their sons anymore. And the family isn't pulling together. They're running in all different directions, like chickens with their heads cut off, doing different things. What we're saying is the family should be unified. And fathers and mothers should be mentoring personally, walking beside their children in all of life. And so So yeah, this is all about really a much larger, much more important category, and that is the restoration of the goodness of God into the culture.
Yes. And folks, I told you there are hundreds and thousands of ideas that are going to come out of this one idea of reintegrating the family economy. And we got one today. We got one, okay? If you'd like to check out this or send your children to check out this seminar, Scott, why don't you give us some details on when and where one more time and how they sign up for this?
Yeah, so it's May 21st, 2011, and it's going to happen right here in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and it's called the Financial Professionals Workshop. You'll learn how to become a financial professional from the professionals. And the website is www.northwakeaccounting.com. That's NORTHWAKE accounting.com.
Okay, that's northwakeaccounting.com for this series of seminars and workshops. Scott, thanks so much for joining us on Generations. We really appreciate your ideas, your wisdom, your vision in this area of family economy.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Well, you keep stimulating everything, and I want to tell you one more thing.
Okay.
I want to find a guy who's going to come and work with me, and he's going to build a Boeing 747 by outsourcing every part of it.
I love it.
A 200 square foot office here in Wake Forest. Hey, Kevin, you and I used to be in manufacturing. We know.
Yeah.
We could be.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. I was in high volume manufacturing in the automotive industry and in the computer industry for about 12 years. I know it can be done. You know it can be done. You built this yourself early on. I know it can be done. It can be done. But it's going to take some vision on the part of men like you and me and others that are listening.
Thanks, Kevin.
And ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast as we bring a vision for family economics that I think is going to stand us in good stead during the decline of the socioeconomic system we're seeing right now. There's ways in which we can rebuild these systems. I call it planting gardens in the ashes. There are practical ways I believe we can do this. And we've heard so many examples on the radio program and interviews as well as at our conference. And I hope that this information will be helpful to you as you rebuild your family economies for the generations to come. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.